Once again, to all whom we have with us, as always, I am grateful to stand before you and share with you another portion of the Word of God. And I too want to extend my welcome to those visiting with us. We are glad that you are here and do invite you back at every opportunity that you have to do so. This year, we have been engaged in a detailed study. Our theme for the year has been Lights in a Dark World, based upon Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. This is an entire year's study dealing with the importance of being a proper example. And we've talked about what it means to be a proper example in various aspects. We've looked at examples in the New Testament and spent considerable amount of time with that. And then following that, in the second part of this study, over the past several weeks, we've been dealing with how we are to be examples in every area of our lives. We've talked about the importance of the church, that is, a local congregation. And then a couple of weeks ago, we began looking at just some personal aspects of our lives that we want to deal with. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Christian and his money, and how it's important that we use whatever resources we have for the glory of God, and how we think about what we have has a bearing on our example. Well, today I'm going to begin talking about a different area of our life, and this is going to be kind of a different lesson. I've never presented a lesson like this one before, but I'm going to be talking about the Christian and his physical health as it relates to our example in this world. Now, as I present this lesson, I want to make just a couple of observations here. You know, one of them is, I made up my mind a number of years ago when I preached on a subject. If it was a detailed subject, we're not going to avoid any areas. You know, sometimes it's easy to preach about areas where you're pointing the finger at other people. Sometimes we need to look inwardly at ourselves. And I think this is one of those areas where that is the case. And as a matter of fact, as I begin this lesson, I want to make the observation that what I'm saying today is something that I need to work on. I'm struggling with this personally. You know how I used to talk about when you point this way, you point your fingers at everybody else, or your one finger and you're pointing back. Well, I'm kind of got arthritis today. They're all pointing my direction. I'm preaching to myself, and quite honestly, that's what I'm doing in this lesson. If it happens to apply to you as well, then please consider these things from God's Word. If it doesn't apply to you, please bear with me. I think these are things that we need to give consideration to. And I say that because I want you to understand that I don't have anybody in mind specifically. That's what's important to understand. I'm not looking at anybody in the audience and targeting anybody concerning your health, concerning what you're doing, what you're eating, and what you're drinking, and how you're taking care of yourself. These are just some principles that I want us to deal with. And what we're going to do in our lesson today is we're just going to introduce this subject from the standpoint, and we're going to talk about some considerations as we think about the Christian and his health, and how it affects our influence before others. Next week, I'm going to look at some biblical principles that we want to give consideration to. Now, some of what I am dealing with this morning, I'll tell you this right up front, if you have an outline, it is based, or some of the ideas, not all of it, but some of the ideas are based upon a book that I came across by a gospel preacher, and I'm not going to bother mentioning the name now, but it's on the bottom of your outline, and if you want more information on that, I will be glad to talk to you about that following the service. But obviously, we're interested in what God's Word has to say. And when it comes to taking care of ourselves, you know, I'm convinced that most of us could probably do a little better job of this in our lives as we look at ourselves. Again, I know I can't. And another thing that I realize, and I'm going to develop this verse a little further next week, is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8, Paul, speaking to Timothy, tells him there, he says, reject profane and old wives' fables, but exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And what I want to observe in this is Paul tells Timothy, you exercise yourself toward godliness. And then he says, bodily exercise profits a little. Well, a little is more than none. And that's kind of the thing that I want us to think about. But I realize that as I'm talking about this subject, that there are matters that are of greater profit than just physical things. You know, our physical health and our well-being and so on. The spiritual matters are the priority in our life. We need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. But when we look at that, you know, we just ask ourselves, you know, can taking better care of ourselves enhance our ability to serve God? That's just what we want to think about. You know, can it give us better opportunities when it comes to serving God and being the examples that we ought to be? And another challenge that is associated with dealing a subject like this is a realization that we're talking about things that we need. You know, how many of us can do without food, clothing, shelter, water, rest, exercise? We need those things in our lives. Every one of us need those things. And not only do we need them, they are good and they are productive things in our lives. You know, Jesus, when He was talking about seeking first the kingdom of God over in Matthew chapter 6, just prior to that statement, and remember that this is a passage of Scripture where Jesus is talking about worrying or not worrying and learning to trust God in every area of your life. And in verses 31 and 32, He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. We need food. We cannot survive without food. We cannot survive without water. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible, with a few exceptions, doesn't really tell us what we can't eat and what we can't drink. The Bible doesn't have a regimen for how much we need to exercise. You know, it doesn't tell you how many hours a week you need to be out there exercising or how many hours you don't need to be exercising. It doesn't tell you exactly how many hours of sleep you need or how much water to drink on a daily basis. Even though we have guides that give us direction that can help us improving our health from those standpoints. But understand, God knows that we need these things in our lives. So we are dealing with matters of judgment. And not only that, we're dealing with matters that are not wrong within themselves. You know, we've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes. As a matter of fact, last Sunday night, we looked at this verse here. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse number 24. In this text, we read Solomon, you know, and this is after this search that he's made. You know, what gives real meaning to this life, and his determination was everything in this life is vanity. If you're putting your trust in the things of this world, you're going to be disappointed. There's nothing in this world that can give you real meaning. But we also noted Sunday night that verse number 24 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is a turning point in the book. And in verse 24 he says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. There's nothing wrong with enjoying food. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, exercise and comforts in your home. As a matter of fact, if you've worked for it and earned it, it's a gift of God. That's the point that he is making there. Over in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors. It is the gift of God. It's from God. It is the gift of God, he says. And you can go on and on. Over in the New Testament in Acts chapter 4, this isn't on your outline. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse number 17, or 14, sorry. Acts chapter 14 and in verse number 17, Paul makes this statement here. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God has given us things to enjoy in this life. There's nothing wrong with food tasting pleasant. There's nothing wrong with pleasant tasting drinks. And all those types of things we give consideration to. So one of the challenges in dealing with the Christian and the way that he takes care of himself is to understand these are things that we need. And there are things that are not wrong within themselves. Another consideration that we think about as we look at this is that in spite of that fact, we are talking about choices that we make. Choices that we make in various areas of our lives. And that's really the point that we want to give consideration to. So it's not a matter, of whether something is good or so on, but we've got to make a choice. What's it going to do to us physically? Is it going to make us better and in what way? Or are we partaking of it with moderation? Might be a way to give consideration to. We'll talk about that last week. So understand that when we're dealing with this, that's one of the points that we give consideration to. And I'm going to tell you something else that we need to, that I think about when I consider our physical well-being. I consider how blessed we really are as a country. I consider how blessed we are to be in the free world, in the United States of America. And we can give consideration first and foremost, just to the freedoms that we have. We can go where we want to go. We don't need permission from the government. We can get in our cars and we can drive around and so on. We can assemble openly and worship God. And that's just a spiritual blessing that we enjoy and sometimes take for granted. But I want us to understand that, compared to most of the world, from a health standpoint, we have at our disposal things that can enhance our health. But yet we seem to take these things for granted. Think about the abundance of food that we have. The variety that we have before us. And how we can make preferences. There's foods that I don't like. Most of you know about some of those things, and I'm not going to talk about that right now, but every one of us has likes. Some of us have things that we can eat, and some of us have things that we can't eat. Some of us have allergies to certain things. But you know what? We're living in a society that we can work around that, can't we? And in fact, we can learn what our allergies are and avoid those types of things. So just think about that from the prosperity of the country that we live in. Think about the access that we have to comfortable clothing that we can use in whatever environment we are in. Think about the fact that we have homes that are a safe haven, and often they are well stocked to accommodate us to our comfortable lifestyles. Think about our beds and our pillows that we lay our heads on at night. Our covers, if we get just a little bit cold, we've got all kinds of options. Turn the heater up, open the window, put another blanket on. If we get too hot, most of us can deal with that, cool down a little bit. We can do things to control our environment. Indoor plumbing, electricity. And then that we have the ability that we have to get from one place to another, transportation. And not only do we have transportation, it's comfortable transportation. And for most of us, reliable transportation. You can get in your car, and if it's too hot, you can cool yourself off while you're going where you're going. And I'm not just describing these things just to describe it, but I want you to know how good we have, because most of the world doesn't have most of these things. Most of the world just has just enough to get by. If that. So we're abundantly blessed with the ability to take care of ourselves. That's the point that I am making in this. Of course, that just leads to the question, are we taking care of ourselves the way that we ought to? I want you to turn over to Psalm 139. And I want us to look at this psalm here just for a few moments. Psalm 139. I want to read a few verses out of this psalm, and I want to make some observations as we break this down. Psalm 139, this is a psalm of David, and we find, first of all, in verses 1 through 6, we find David describing how God sees everything. And he says there, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. For behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." So the first thing that David acknowledges in this text is God, you know me. You know who I am. You know everything about me. I want us to think about that, you know, as we're talking about this subject. God knows what my limitations are. God knows my strengths and He knows my weaknesses. God knows when I'm able to do better than I'm doing. And that's just something that I need to think about. And I need to be serious about that as he makes that point there. When I sit down, you know when I'm sitting down, you know when I'm resting, you know when I'm resting too much. You know when I'm getting up, you know when I'm getting up too much. And so on and so forth. So that's the first observation that he makes in that particular text. You know everything about me. Then in verses 7 through 12, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to you." Here David is saying God is everywhere. You know, there's no place that I can go and I can hide from God. He knows every little thing that I'm doing. You know, He knows if I'm sneaking something that I shouldn't be sneaking. You know, He knows if I'm going places or doing things that I shouldn't do. He knows if I'm watching the wrong thing on television or clicking the wrong website on the internet. He also knows if I'm doing the right thing too. You can't hide from God. So He knows if I'm taking care of myself. Now let's get to the point of this though. As we continue reading in verse 13 through 16, why is all these things so? Number one, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you." Listen to this. "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." God knows everything about me. And David in this text says, "You formed my inward part. You made me the way that I am. You gave me the abilities that I have." And then he says this statement here, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Wrap your minds around that for a minute. Wrap your minds around what that really means. You know, let me give you some ideas from a scientific standpoint. You know, just think about our bodies for a moment. And a lot of these things come from that resource that I'm talking about on your page. One of the observations would make that scientists have determined that if you were to take all the vessels in a single human body and put them end to end, they would wrap 25,000 miles. I can't wrap my mind around. You know, that's further than the circumference of the earth. And that's one human body. In addition to that, our lungs, they contain more than 300,000 blood vessels. That's just your lungs. And that's bringing the air into the body and doing things with that. And this is something I found interesting. The human bone is so strong that its compound is 4 times stronger than that of concrete from a standpoint of what an inch can support. In addition to that, our kidneys contain more than 1 million individual filters that are capable of filtering 2.2 pints of blood every minute, filtering the blood through your body. Add to this that a healthy heart beating at about 70 beats a minute, that organ that is in us that God has given us, if we live 70 years and it beats normally, it's going to beat about 2 billion times without wearing out. In addition to that, you know, our bodies, and this is the point of this, God designed our bodies in such a way to function, but they're designed to take abuse. You know, if you eat a little bit of the wrong thing, your body will compensate for it. Those kind of things. There's ways that we can take care of, and our bodies were designed basically to heal themselves and to repair themselves in many instances. But I'm going to tell you right now that compensation comes at a cost. And this is why this was in the book. One of the observations that was made in dealing with this is that it says that for every pound of fat that somebody gains, about 7 miles of blood vessels are created. Just to manage that 1 pound that has been gained. Think about that. Now, you know what that means? That's 7 more miles of blood vessels that the heart has to take care of. Now, our bodies are designed in such a way they take care of themselves that if you lose a pound, those blood vessels are absorbed back into the body and disappear. That's why as you lose weight, you get healthier as a rule. That's the body. Go back to Psalm 139, verse 14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me this way. Let me tell you something. You think God cares about you? If He put that much effort into creating you, you think He cares about you? Think He cares about what you do? And you know, you can just add to that, you know, over in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 where it says that we are made in the image of God. You just think about all that is associated with that. I know that that's not the human body, but we're made in God's image. What a wonderful thing that is to actually think about. And over there in Psalm 8 and verse number 4, where David says there, you know, as he looks at the world and he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Do I really deserve this?" I'm going to tell you right now, it's not about what you deserve. It's just about the fact that God cares. And He created you the way you are, and don't you for a moment think that you're not worth something. We sometimes think we're not. But God does care about us. And He's shown that in so many different ways. And now, of course, here's the question. If God created us this way, how are we taking care of ourselves? How am I taking care of myself? That's the thing to think about as we consider these things. Now, having said all that, another point that needs to be made when we think about taking care of ourselves is we don't have control over everything. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes you have sicknesses and sometimes you have diseases. Sometimes people are born with sicknesses. And I'm not going to even go into the question of whether somebody else was responsible for that. But let's just suppose nobody else was responsible and it just happened. We sometimes have physical limitations in our lives that are beyond our control. And we may not be able to help them necessarily with diet and so on just because of various limitations. And I realize that when I'm talking about these things, that there are things that we cannot help. And you want to add to that? The older we get, sorry, we're going to wear out. Parts are going to start to break down, and things are going to happen. And that's the way our bodies have been designed by God. Over in Psalm 90, Moses, the only psalm we have recorded of his, or at least it's the only psalm attributed to him, in that particular psalm, he talks about our lives. And he says there in Psalm 90 and in verse number 10, he says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." You know, we live 70, maybe 80 years, and we start wearing out. I love the way Isaiah or Solomon put that over in the book of Ecclesiastes. This is toward the end of the book in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And you find it in verse number 1 of Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon there says, you know what, you remember God while you're young. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You remember God while you're young. Why? Well, let me explain to you what happens when you get older. And this is poetic. But he says in verse 2, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in other words, your body's not healing itself like it should, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, lose your teeth, and those who look through the windows grow dim, your eyes. When the doors are shut in the street and the sound of grinding is low, you can't sleep, you're interrupted at the least little thing that is said there. When one rises up and at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, I can't enjoy my music. And they are afraid of height because they might fall. And of the terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, losing hair. The grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Your body breaks down and you die. And he goes on and he continues to describe that. But the point of that is we get older. And Solomon said, you remember God while you're young. You appreciate what you have while you're young because you're going to get older and you're not going to have as much ability when you get older. Our bodies wear down. And that's just something that we realize. And there are things that are beyond our control. I realize that. But are there areas that we could manage better? I know I can. Are there things that I can do better to take better care of myself? I said, okay, well, you've talked about health. What's the big deal, and what does this have to do with my example to others? Well, I want you to think about just a few things. Poor health can limit our abilities to do certain things. Is it possible that because we haven't taken care of ourselves, we're not able to do as much for others as we would if we were healthier? And again, I'm not talking about those things that you have no control over. I'm talking about the ones you do. Could we do more if we took better care of ourselves? Remember, we're seeking first the kingdom of God in every area of our lives. Something else to think about. How often does poor health diminish our energy levels? And again, that goes directly to not being able to do as much as we would want to do or do it with the vigor with which we would like to do it. It can diminish our resources. Sometimes when we're struggling with health issues, you know, it takes resources from us to deal with those health issues. And aren't we blessed to be able to deal with those health issues? But if it's something that you could avoid, you know, you ever have a doctor go to you and, you know, or, you know, you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, you know what, push away from the sugars or you're going to start having to depend on insulin because you're going to be a diabetic. Or you can just go on and on and on down the... And if you take care of yourself, you know what? You're not going to have to spend money on that. Because as I understand, I'm not there, but insulin is pretty expensive, isn't it? It's not cheap. You know, that's just an example. What else could I use those resources on if I didn't have to use them for things that I've done to myself? Maybe if I'd have thought a little more. If I'd have realized the consequences. You know, I can just tell you things that I said when I was young that I'm regretting, you know, to this day. You know, somebody says, well, you know what? I'd rather enjoy life and so what if it knocks a couple of years off the end? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's not about that couple of years. It's about the 10, 20, 30 years leading up to that couple of years that you've knocked off and the misery in your body because you didn't take care of yourself early on. Or let me rephrase that. Because I didn't take care of myself early on. Another thing to think about is oftentimes physical health can just diminish our spiritual well-being. You know, we just don't feel like doing things. We just don't feel like doing something that needs to be done because we're dealing with that. And furthermore, it can affect our disposition in dealing with others. How often is it poor health leads to poor attitudes? Poor attitudes about yourself and poor attitudes about others. Because we're not thinking, because we're not taking care of ourselves. Can you see how shining as lights in every area of your life, this affects this? And then of course, a side thing that you might want to think about is my poor example an influence on others with a poor example? You know, those who are watching us and watching the way that we are or are not taking care of ourselves. Do I need to think about that? Are these areas of our lives we need to give consideration to? So that, my friends, is how this can affect us spiritually. So that's just kind of the introduction to this lesson. I want to wrap this up with one little final point that I just find interesting, and this is just kind of a side note dealing with this. Now, if you study your Old Testament and you study the history of Israel, you can go all the way back to Exodus 20, which is the giving of the Ten Commandments, and go through the book of Exodus, and go through the history of Israel. One of the things that you will find a common theme is good health was associated with the blessings of God and righteousness. In other words, when people were behaving themselves and acting like they should, God blessed them with good health. You know what was associated with sin and rebellion? It was sickness. And you see that all the time. And you can even read through the prophets. You can read in Jeremiah and other places where he talks about, I made you sick. I took away your health because you rejected me. That's not the wording that's used there. But that's the point. Following God leads to good. Not following God leads to bad in every area. Health versus sickness. Let's make a New Testament application to this. Just a couple of verses here. You ever hear us talk about the word sound? You know, turn over to Luke chapter 5 and in verse 31. You know, that word sound is a word that means healthy. It means wholesome. It means that I'm what I ought to be. In Luke chapter 5 and in verse number 31, this is an occasion where Jesus is being criticized for eating with Matthew and the tax collectors. You know, he's associating with sinners. And I want you to notice what Jesus says here. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well, I want you to look at that word in a minute. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is saying, who is it that needs the doctor? It's somebody that is sick. Who doesn't need the doctor? Somebody that is well. Interesting point I came across as I was preparing for this lesson. That word well is from the Greek word hygiano. Anything sound familiar about that? Our English word hygiene is based upon the Greek word that is defined as health or well in this case. And this is the exact same word that you find in those verses, 2 Timothy 1:13, Titus 1:9, Titus 2:1, and other places, the word sound. And in those particular cases, it's talking about when we are what we ought to be, we are sound. Over in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, Paul tells Timothy to hold fast the pattern of sound words, healthy words. In Titus 1:9, the elders by sound doctrine are able to exhort and convict those who contradict. In Titus 2 and in verse number 1, speak these things which are proper for sound doctrine. So all of those things, that's the idea of being healthy. God wants us to be healthy spiritually, and I also believe physically to the best of our ability, which is the whole point of these two lessons, this one and next week. One final verse. 3 John and verse 2. Where John said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And the word health is the same word, or a derivative of the same word, as the word sound and well. John's prayer is that not only do you prosper spiritually, but that you prosper physically, that you be in good health. I think there's something we can do about that. But for now, I just commend this lesson to you by just simply asking the question, how is your health? We'll conclude this next week by just looking at some principles that we need to consider when we talk about looking at our health. But if there's nothing further, I commend the lesson to you. Open your songbook now to number 480. This kind of goes along with, in a spiritual way, have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Maybe there is someone here who is yet to respond to the gospel invitation, and if so, we want to offer you an opportunity this morning to become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're sick spiritually, and you need the great physician. Have your sins washed away, and we're ready to help you with that if that is your need. Or if you're a child of God and you're not living in good spiritual health, you take care of that. You go to God in prayer confessing your sins and He'll forgive you. And if there is some way that we can pray with you and pray for you, if there is something that needs to be made known, we give you opportunity. Count the cost of not taking care of whatever it is that's not what it ought to be in your life. And if you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we stand.